copyright Forum of Christian Leaders. The contents contained on this website are solely for your own individual, non-commercial, and informational use. Any other use is strictly prohibited without our express prior written consent. See the full copyright disclosure at focalonline.org.
As you know from the notes and everything, I am teaching counseling at Covenant Seminary, although I'm slowly retiring from that, and have had a sort of lifetime of medicine, psychiatry, working in the Labrie Fellowship in England, and then teaching at Covenant Seminary. I am prone to anxiety, so I speak to myself just as much as to you in this. And what I'd like to do in these sessions, and it will be, this is part one that you are in. Part two will be on Wednesday afternoon. Today I'm going to focus much more on the biblical material, and then I will be focusing on some of what I call the common grace remedies within the secular psychological world for anxiety. So, thinking about this, the simple answer, biblical answer, is this, isn't it? Don't be afraid. Don't be anxious. The Bible says that. Don't fret. Have no anxiety about anything. But we know it's not quite as simple as that. That's a general principle. But we know that there are many characters in Scripture, good, godly men and women, and even Jesus himself, who were anxious at times. So, is worry a sin? Addressing it straight off. Martin Lloyd-Jones, who is one of the people I sat at his feet many years ago at Westminster Chapel in London, he, in one of his sermons, says, "Worry, anxiety, being cast down and defeated, being mastered by life and its attendant circumstances, they are always due in a Christian to lack of faith." That's a pretty condemning statement, just out of context, isn't it? So it's really important to look at, if the Bible says don't worry, and we do worry, is that sin? So we need to look at the context in Scripture, and we need to look at our own lives to ask what makes us worried or anxious. So when things like this happen in the world, we all get a little anxious. I can remember after this 9/11 noticing planes flying over tall buildings and wondering, you know, what was going to happen. Soldiers in wartime in Iraq, in Afghanistan, and around the world, after they come back from war, are often what we call hypervigilant. They're on the alert. Their whole system is anxious because they've lived with the fear of bombs and mines in the road and snipers for months at a time. We have sort of national epidemics of anxiety about avian flu, about the economics, about global warming. And they all have some legitimacy in them because things could go badly wrong in our world. We could have another world war. We've been talking about what makes you worried. But there is, obviously, there is healthy anxiety and worry and fear. You know, if you're walking out in the street and a bus comes down the road, you need to feel anxious to get out of the way. If you're doing an exam and you haven't revised enough, you need to feel anxious because you need to be working harder at it. But there are some people who feel too much anxiety, that they get paralyzed by facing an exam and they just can't think straight. There are extremes of anxiety states that we'll look at a little later on. So for some people, there is panic and paralysis and freezing in the face of anxiety. And we have irrational and inappropriate fears. These are what we call the pathological anxieties. So panic attacks, phobias, obsessive-compulsive disorder, PTSD. These are all that, well, and we'll look at these in a little more detail on Thursday. But these are not uncommon. So I'm sure some of you in this room have had panic attacks, have phobias. Some of you may have suffered from post-traumatic stress disorder, have obsessive-compulsive disorder. So there can be too much, there can be irrational or inappropriate fear, and there are a few people, amazingly, who seemingly genetically do not feel fear at all. And that is really dangerous for them. So they have to be very careful how they live. And then there are some more normal mortals who don't feel a lot of fear. This English girl, Ellen MacArthur, sailed around the world single-handed on her own at the age of 22 and said she didn't feel a whole lot of fear. But she did feel fear when she got back and had to speak in public about it. That was her fear. Others, you know, they fall from the sky and feel more alive when they're doing that. They're not afraid with such things, or climbing without ropes on things like this. This is a woman climber. And in the research that has been done on anxiety, it's been found in that this is quite a very recent paper that I just read. And they've looking at 900 adults, they found that 30% of them could be described as highly sensitive people. So they get upset easily when they are afraid, they react pretty intensely, and they called them the orchids. And then at the other end, 30% who are the dandelions, who are low anxiety. They don't get anxious. They're pretty resilient in the face of stress. And somewhere in the middle, the 40%, the tulips, the medium anxiety folk. And this has reinforced earlier research back in the early 2000s. Jerem Kagan in the States found with 500 children, and he started looking at babies when they were just 4 months old, and followed them on up into their 20s, and found that approximately 15% were highly reactive, very anxious, and about 15% of these people were very low anxiety. Now, if you think what happens when you put a high anxious person into a dysfunctional family, or in the presence of a lot of abuse and loud and angry language, that will only tend to make them more anxious. If you put someone with high anxiety in a good, solid, loving, caring, attuned home, probably they will get a lot less anxious. So it's a combination of genetics, temperament, and circumstances that you live in. And we know that the amygdala is the sort of alarm center, the fire alarm that goes off. And some people have a very sensitive amygdala. That seems to be a genetic plus environmental thing. So it's a combination, as I said, of genes, parental example, maybe a parental example. If a mother is always saying, "Oh, be careful, my dear, you might fall," and they're always anxious and afraid around a child, that is going to tend to make that child more anxious. And then life experience and your particular brain. So that's just a little summary of some of the background, that some people get more anxious than others. Now, what wisdom do we find from the Bible in this? And in relation to that last bit of information about temperament, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5, "Warn the idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everybody." And I think he's acknowledging some people are more fearful, are weaker in the sense of being that way, more anxious than others. And we need to be patient with each person's temperament and to help them. Think of some of the characters in Scripture. Elijah running for his life after the great victory with the prophets of Baal. He becomes a shivering jelly in the face of Jezebel's threats and becomes suicidal as he runs away. And some of it is exhaustion. Some of it is fear and doubt. There are a lot of ingredients in that story. Peter's fear when he walks on the water and he looks down at the waves and he begins to sink. And then so in each of these situations, you have to ask, what is realistic fear? What is healthy fear? And what is sinful fear? If we think of Jesus during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. So he was afraid, I think, in the face of the cross. and then, so the question comes for us, I guess, just there are many other examples. We could think of David in the Psalms and his fear of Saul and his prayers to God. How should we fear God? Because it seems the scripture says it's right to fear God, to acknowledge that he is the sovereign Lord of the universe and the judge of the universe. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So you fear God in order to not ultimately be afraid. And you cultivate that relationship like the tree beside the water in Jeremiah 17:7. So that if you have your roots deep in the character and sovereignty of God, you will have less worries and fear than if you're out in the desert somewhere away from that water of life. Now, some people, as we said earlier, experience anxiety much more intensely with panic attacks and phobias and so on. And so if we think in the world of medicine, we accept that there are many things that we can treat which are not even described in the Bible, that are effects of the fall, effects of Adam and Eve's sin in the world, disease, sickness, death, and oversensitivity of the brain, diseases of the brain, are neurons not functioning as they should, living with the results of dysfunctional families and PTSD, may give rise to extreme anxiety. And there are remedies, there are principles in Scripture, and there are common grace, as I would call them, common grace wisdom for dealing with anxiety. And I'll just name a few here, and then we'll talk about more and in more detail on Thursday. Just, for example, drinking too much caffeine, drinking too much alcohol, your diet, if you're eating a lot of junk food, if you're not getting exercise, if you're not out in nature, if you're not listening to good music, if you're not employing relaxation and breathing exercises, all of these things, not really named specifically in Scripture, are remedies for being too anxious. Even rest and recreation, well, that certainly is named in Scripture when it's important that we get a Sabbath rest and don't work 7 days a week. Having a news fast, just listening to the news, you know, several times a day can make you very anxious, especially in some parts of the world. And learning to say no to overload. And then just practicing the discipline of gratitude. Now, that is biblical. It's clearly a biblical principle to notice the things you are thankful for rather than just notice the things that make you more anxious. And a few people will have medical disorders like thyroid problems that actually give you anxiety. Certain medications, the side effects would be anxiety.